hadn't he been real good to us? I want you to go to 2 Kings in chapter 4, a message on my heart tonight. And we'll take the middle of this week and see if the Lord will help us in the Word of God. And I want everybody to be praying for the next two nights that the Lord would do what He does. Amen. And He'd do it in an eternal way. Yes, sir. Don't care if it's big or little, it's eternal. Yes. Eternal's the only thing that matters. Yes, and who ain't joined the church that's supposed to? Where are they at? I'll preach to them. Somewhere over in here. I have some very seeker-friendly, specific target messages. Amen. Ain't the Lord been good? Hey, Brother Tim, I'm going to tell on you down in America that you're singing. Brother Dent and company, they'll be glad to hear this. I'll help you. Me and you will do a duet down there. I'll help you. They may put us in that side room, but we'll go for it. That's great. Caitlin sounded good singing. And we appreciated Brother Tim getting up here. That's awful, ain't it? Oh, I didn't mean that, or you'll never know if I did or not. 2 Kings 4, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, it's just our little flock has come together tonight. And in the midst of this meeting, in the midst of this week, would you, Lord, drop a word into our souls that give us faith and strength, sanctification. God, do a work in our life through the Word of God tonight. We pray and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to see if I can preach in 30 minutes. And we'll be in here from 7 to 8 and go get some rest tonight. And then tomorrow night, let's tell them we stayed till 11. They'll never know. They'll never know, Brother Eddie. And you don't rat me out, and I won't rat you out. They'll never know. Hallelujah. No, I'm glad it's just us tonight. I've had this message bumping in my heart the entire meeting, even from week one, as I've thought on these things and been around here with y'all. And I'm changing my name to Dean Sharp, and I'm going to join Northside, baby. Amen. I want to be one of the show, and I'm gonna grow a mustache, and y'all can talk to it, and it'll be. I told you the first week. I'm gonna tell you again. Brother James does not have a mustache, but a mustache has Brother James. That's great, ain't it? I love your song leader too. I told him I appreciated him last night, and men like him who've been faithful through the years. So that when God was ready to visit, there'd still be a church here. Amen. And he reminds me of somebody, and when I figure it out, I'm going to pick on him. I mean, he is a caricature. When I figure it out, it's going to be awful for you, brother. Amen. Let's read. And I want to preach a little while with the help of God on the widow's pot of oil. I love Elijah and Elisha. Some years ago, one of the first series God had me study as an evangelist 20 years ago nearly, was these miracles of Elisha. And Elijah had 8 miracles. Elisha had 16, a double portion. It's what he asked for in chapter 2, a double portion. Many of Elijah's miracles were death miracles. But many of Elisha's, they were judgment and death and negative things. But with Elisha, they were life and positive and healing. One man I studied behind said Elijah would have been like John the Baptist. And then Elisha would have been like Jesus, a forerunner of the grace ministry. Elijah could have been a picture of the law. And Elisha would be a picture of grace. And I love these miracles of Elisha. Well, let's come to one here that's got healing in it and miracles in it and deliverance in it. I'm feeling good tonight. I appreciate our little singer back there. Boy, she can sing. She hit that marvelous note. I was waiting to see if you could hit it, Seth. I'm going to make Brother Tim sing that song down in South Georgia. I'm going to sing with him, and when he gets to that point, how marvelous, I'm going to leave him and make him hit it by himself. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need. And that's what he's doing around here. And you know, something I tell preachers in revival, and your pastor's not done what most men do. They try to explain what's happening. And your pastor's not done. I've been watching him. He's a sharp fella. But I've been watching, listening, not closely, but just I've noticed over the last 3 weeks that he ain't tried to explain this. Not one night. He ain't tried to label it. He ain't tried to define it. And you're in the third week of a meeting. Most people can't hardly get their folks out for 3 days, much less 3 weeks. And I know it's God, because y'all ain't no different than all them other Baptists out there. It's God helping us. And this is just God. There ain't nothing we're doing. It's everything he's doing. And a lot of folk had unity, never had revival. A lot of folk prayed for decades, never had revival. A lot of folk have had young people get on fire for God, and it did not result in revival. It's bigger than us. It's beyond us. It's just him. Amen. I had a friend of mine that went 5 weeks, and well over 100 saved. And he said by the second week, all the preachers in the area was explaining it all. Well, we have this because people are coming together in unity. Honey, that happens all the time, all over the place, and it don't mean revival. They said, well, people here are really hungry for God. I know people have been hungry for God 10 times more than any of us. And they'll never see what you're seeing. God will give them what they need, but they'll never see it. And honey, you can't, and they say, well, we got all the preachers together. I've been in meetings where there's over 100 preachers. Didn't result in revival. Promise you one thing, honey. You go to labeling it, God will limit it. He's just sovereign. Sovereignty of God is not in the gospel message. He died for everybody. They try to put the elect in there. The sovereignty of God is seen in the gospel movement. Why is the Lord landed right here? There's a lot of other steeples. If we could attach ourselves to a big drone and go straight up and start counting steeples. It's almost in Knoxville, almost like counting the sand on the seashore. But God wanted to sit down right here. You say, well, we got a fine pastor. Well, so does a lot of other people. You say, well, it must be that evangelist. Well, you may have something there now. I don't know. No! There's many an evangelist that's got the touch of God on their ministry because they got to help churches. It ain't the evangelist. It ain't the pastor. It ain't nothing. Except God wanted to. He willed it. He wanted it. He came by. Woo! Amen. He touched a 16-year-old girl. Has God done that? Amen. There's a lot of godly teenage girls across it. There's a lot of ungodly ones. But there's some godly ones. And they ain't having this. Y'all just need to thank him. Y'all just want to shout 20 minutes and go home, tell folk we was here till 11. Glory! All right. There's deliverance in here, and there's grace in here, and there's healing in here. Let's read it, 2 Kings 4. Now they're cried. I'm going to ask you to circle 4 words for my message. Circle 4 words. The first one is cried. Now they're cried. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy, here's the second word, servant, circle that. Thy servant, my husband is dead. Now we've circled the word cried and the word servant. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Hey, stop right here. Do y'all reckon the Lord's come by these 3 weeks and he said, what would you like me to do for you? You say, you think God acts that way? Honey, you don't know our Savior by now. You're not read the Gospels. You're not read the Old Testament. You're not read how merciful he is, how compassionate he is, how gracious he is, how thoughtful, considerate he is. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? See, he can just use whatever you got. He said, I'm about to run. Woo! What do you got in the house? He will work with whatever you got to work with. What hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And circle that word save. Save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad. Circle that word abroad. We'll have our four words circled. Borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Whew. Hey, can I say something to you, church? That's what we've done around here for 3 weeks. We went inside and shut the door with a pot of oil and a promise. Y'all ain't helping me. I'm about to run. I'm about to sign my own Bibles, what I'm fixing to do. She shut the door. Well, there's another woman shut the door in this chapter. That later on there, that great woman of Shunem, God miraculously gave her a child after she gave God a chamber for the prophet. And that child died. And she took her in there and he shut the door. What verse is it? I got a new Bible. And she took that boy in there and shut the door. After he died. Oh my, I'm looking. 19, 20. There it is verse 21. And she went up and laid him, this dead baby, and laid him on the bed of the man of God, that prophet chamber she had built for life, and shut the door. Do y'all see that? That's two places in this passage where she shut the door. And you know, that's what we've done around here as we've come in. And hey, y'all have had to turn your life off. I know you're working, and those of you that are working in weary hours all day and come in, don't you feel better every time you get in here? Amen. And you're tired in the morning, but you got strength that you never had. It's like your body's tired, but your spirit's strong. Can I get a witness right there? And but you know what we've done, and I know many of you are still having to work during the day or during the night. But we've shut the door on our life. Amen. We've shut the door on everything around us. Amen. And we're in here. Hey, we're behind closed doors with Jesus. Amen. Woo. And she had two sons that were alive, but she had to shut the door on them. And this other woman had one son that was dead, and she shut the door on him. And there ain't nothing like going behind closed doors with Jesus and shutting the door. And knowing that God's going to fix it when that door opens. When that door gets open, you're going to have everything you're supposed to have. Woo! I may run. Amen. All right, where y'all at? I'm in chapter 4. And verse 5, she shut the door upon her and her sons who brought the vessels to her. By the way, and she poured out. When they got that door shut, God began to pour that oil out. Honey, you tell me that's what he's been doing around here. He's been a pouring that oil out. Amen. Been a pouring that oil out. What about that other youth group got the same spirit? Coming here last night. Amen. Their youth pastor. He's a little crazy, but isn't that good? Y'all know you're just thinking it. Don't tell him I said that. Nice man. How nice of him to come and bring them. But what about that? Them kids come in here with that same spirit. I wonder if the Lord got him a witness last night. Got him a witness. You know what he told Lot? If we can just find two in each city. Y'all ain't helping me. The first intercessory prayer in your Bible is where Lot prayed. Lot was prayed for by Abram. Abraham. First mention of ashes in your Bible is in the middle of that first intercessory prayer. He said, Lord God, I've taken it upon me to speak unto you. And I'm nothing but dust and ashes. And ashes, preacher, represents that which has been reduced to its lowest form by fire. You reckon that's what God's going to do already? He ain't going to quit until we've been reduced to our lowest form by the fire of God. Hey, some of you, you're still there. There's still a lot of you there. Some of you hanging on to sin. Oh, this meeting ain't broke yet. Y'all thought this meeting broke? No, this meeting ain't broke. Some of you's hanging on to sin. Some of you's hanging on to self. Some of you's hanging on to surrender and you ain't going to. When this meeting to break, you might as well go ahead. There's some folk around here crazy enough to keep having church. I'm crazy enough to keep coming. Amen. Honey, when he gets this thing reduced to the lowest form by fire, that's when you're able to talk to God. That's the first intercessory prayer in your Bible. It's Genesis 19 or 18. Maybe I think it's 19. And then but dust and ashes. Brother here. Now, and what did he tell him? What did he tell him? Do you think we got a witness last night? I don't know if y'all see it or not. It's made an impression on me how the Lord used a teenager on a Tuesday night. Break it, and we quit having church, and the Lord started having church. Amen. I've had church with Baptists a long time. I know what that is. We were all having church until Tuesday night. And then the Lord started having church. He used a teenager. What about that black-headed girl? You know, you've seen it. She's the one that God's on her. What about them two Marys at the tomb having to go wake up the disciples? All right, and that black-headed girl. Anthony, get full of the Holy Ghost, gel your hair, and go calling on that girl, son, if you got any sense. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get you a big belt buckle and some Levi's. Find out what's her football team and just wear that shirt, whatever she tells. Whatever. You reckon God gave us a witness? He told Lot, he stopped at 10. Or Abraham was praying for Lot. And he stopped at 10. There was 5 cities. And he knew God had to find a witness. There had to be 2 in each city. You reckon the Lord gave us a witness last night? Somebody on the other side of town is fasting and praying for Knoxville. And that youth pastor there, as he come the first week, and it was a weird story how he found us. What about that? Strange story. Strange is a better word, because God was in it. What about that? What if he got the 2 witnesses in here last night and going to start pouring that oil out? When this thing breaks. Watch this. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. Oh, she wasn't done. She'd have got used to that. Help me now. Help me now. I'm going to tell y'all something. When we get completely full around here and there ain't no more empty space for him, it's going to be time to open the door and come out. But y'all going to be hollering, do more. Let's get some more. She liked that God pouring the oil out business, and she's calling for more. I bet people think we crazy over here in the third week. We're hollering for more. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Well, I want to exhort you four things out of this miracle of the widow's little pot of oil. Number one, did you circle the word cried? I'm going to do this quickly, rapidly, fast, unless I go real slow and preach 2 hours. Watch this. Now they're cried. Simple exhortation. It don't rhyme. It's not alliterated. But I hope God puts it in your heart. We learned several things from this beautiful little miracle. I want to say number one, don't be guilty. If you're taking notes, write that down. That's going to be the main heading. Don't be guilty of four things. Number one, don't be guilty of not asking. Brother pastor, you know good and well, it's the only reason she's in the Bible is because she's hollering for help. She's never had a miracle if she hadn't had a prayer. If she hadn't cried for help, she wouldn't have had a story in the Bible if she hadn't had a supplication. They cried a certain way. You look at how many in the Gospels, the only reason they had a story is because they was hollering for Jesus. They knew he was close by. That leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Amen. Thank God that blind man, he had heard of Jesus healing blind. And they said, you got to hush. We're having an official day. This is a formal ceremony. And we're giving him the key to the city and the mayor's here. And you're messing up our little pompous affair. You're messing it up. But he cried out the more, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't be guilty of not asking. You have not. Because you ask not. I got to tell you this story. My boys, 13 Monday, on the 19th, I think, but he'll be 13. We went several years, didn't have children, didn't know we was ever going to be able to have children. Then God gave us children. And then we didn't know how we was going to raise a baby on the road. My family traveled with me for years. My wife traveled with me for years. And right now there's so much school stuff that they can't hardly travel as much as they did. They get to be teenagers, I think we're going to hit the road and let them sing. And they'll be in all the meetings. But right now we're just in a place where we're at. And we didn't know how his, I had him on the road with me. And y'all put us in a nice place. And just if Brother James is in charge of that, leave him in charge. Let the mustache do what it does. And because he's had me Diet Cokes and snacks and nice rooms. But a lot of places, they're just sticky where they're sticky anywhere. And, we didn't know how he was going to do that with our boy. And how he was going to raise a baby, because they got to learn to crawl before they can walk. And I'd rather it be my dirt. Amen. Them motels. And my wife said, how are we going to let that baby crawl in these motel rooms? Because you wouldn't believe the things we found on the floor. And then just watch 2020 one time when they do the blue lights. The thing glows like a radioactive nuclear tire. An older friend of ours came by, evangelist, and they had a camper. We looked at that and walked through it. My wife said, we could do that. We could do that. Well, I said, yeah, we could do that. We could live that way. Let me check both pockets. Nope, there ain't no camper in either one of them. Her daddy was a prison guard. My daddy's a Baptist preacher. Not only could we not borrow money from our folks, they were needing to borrow money from us. Can I get a witness right there? So I never will forget, in February, on a Sunday morning, we had a little prayer journal. You know, everybody ought to have a prayer list. You ought to get it out and pray over it. And in our prayer journal, we wrote, need a travel trailer, a camper. Wrote it down, 7 o'clock Sunday morning, and then scratched it off the list 2 hours later at 9 o'clock.
Amen.
Thank God. I was down there before Sunday school. I was in a large camp meeting in Lake City, Florida, and standing out there with the pastor in his office, and we was looking out the window drinking coffee in a little styrofoam cup. McDonald's got the best coffee. Hardy's got the best biscuit. Burger King's only if you can't find the other two. Sonic's got a good burrito with jalapenos. Cracker Barrel's only if you got time. Anyhow, leave me alone. I was drinking the coffee in a little styrofoam cup. And there was 10 or 12 campers. People come into that camp meeting. They were parked well under there. And we stand there. He said, boy, it's a lot of campers. I said, yes, sir. He said, you need a camper? I swallowed all my coffee and then choked it all up at the same, like in the exact same moment. Like, I said, huh? Because when they get caught off balance, you lose all your upbringing and manners. And I just said, huh? He said, you need a camper? I said, yeah. I didn't even say yes, sir. I lost all my manners. I said, yeah, huh, yeah. I was in pure redneck gear. Huh, yeah. He said, you want that one? Pointed out the window. There's 12 of them. I just said, yeah. Had no idea what 20's talking about. Yeah. He said, all right, so you can have it. He said one of our older retired men down here in Florida come in and he just buried his wife. And he come in and he said, it handed him the title. And said, preacher, I can't go in there without her. And I don't need that. That was for me and her. He said, preacher, you do the first thing with it God tells you.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I went back and I got Jennifer. And I told her, I said, honey, get your prayer journal out. Stand in the same spot you were standing in 2 hours ago. Use the same ink pen and try to have the same expression on your face. I got like 10 things I need you to write down.
Amen.
She said, what are you talking about? I said, because you scratch that one off. God just gave it to us.
Amen.
Ink wasn't even dry.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be guilty of not asking. Number two, thy servant, my husband. Now here she was. The creditors were coming to take her two sons to work off the debt. They were going to have to go be bondmen. By the way, that'd fix all the credit card debt. They come get your kids and make them work. I don't know. Some of you may take out several loans. Thy servant. She called the man of God. And he came down to the hand. She said, you got to help us, man of God. They're coming to get my two boys. But look what she said. You remember my husband? Thy servant. Said it twice. Thy servant. Can I say this? Don't be guilty, number two. Don't be guilty of selfish living. You ought to be discovered to be guilty of sacrificial living. She is able to lay that on the table twice.
Yep.
We need your help, man of God. You remember my husband and how he served you?
Amen.
There was a history.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Some of you, your day, your emergency come, you're going to call on God and y'all going to have to get acquainted.
Amen.
Like, I know we ain't seen you much, never done anything with you, never done anything for you. We really need you today. This is who I am. This is my family. I know you've never seen them before. Come on, y'all. She said, thy servant. She had two sons, and she was able to say it twice, thy servant, thy servant.
Amen. Thank God.
One preacher I studied behind, old Dr. Don Sable out in Mississippi, one of the greatest Bible expositors of our day. He said her and her husband very well could have been that Obadiah, I think it was. That when Ahab, that wicked queen and the king, Ahab and Jezebel were killing prophets, took them and hid them in a cave and fed them, 150 of them. Old Dr. Don Sable said, I can't quite prove it, but I got a strong case for it. That was her and her husband. And the reason she didn't have any money was because they'd give it all to feed them 150 prophets. Don't be guilty of selfish living.
Amen.
Amen. This a little personal. I'm going to sound. I hope you understand my heart. This won't be but 10 seconds. But when I was a young preacher, God, I read Spurgeon said, carve your name on hearts, not on stone.
Yes.
Amen. And I've never had the kind of success where your name gets engraven anywhere. But I hope at the judgment seat there'll be a few hearts. Amen. Don't be guilty of selfish living. I'm going to tell you a story. It's what I wanted to tell you tonight. My grandfather, he's an old mountain preacher, John Bell. Old circuit riding preacher, pastor two or three old country churches at the same time. Come out of World War II, pastored for several decades, died in his 80s. So he was a young preacher, young single man. Before he went into World War II, he was on the beaches at Normandy. He worked as a nurse in the hospitals. He wasn't getting shot, but what he did was come along with buckets and bags. They say it really disturbed him all them years. I want to stop and say thank God for our World War II veteran.
Amen.
That's another generation and they're gone. Before he went to World War II, he was a young preacher and he went out one night. He was supposed to go preach. 6 miles, 3 miles one way, 3 miles back. We got it measured. Wouldn't exaggerate the story. Through the hills. It's an awful storm, bad weather. And he stood out there and he said, Lord, I can't go out in that storm. For one, nobody else is going to be there. And for two, I got to go through that mountain pass and through them hills. I'm liable to slip and fall or off a cliff. I'm liable to catch pneumonia, and back then that'd kill you. Sometimes, pneumonia. He said, Lord, I can't go out in that water. And he said, the Lord told him, he said, go on, John. And he did. He headed on out. And he did get hurt. Not bad, but he slipped and scraped several times. Rocks and trees, dark, raining. And he did get sick for a little while. He got a bad cold out of it. And he got there he got to the church. And one little old woman lived next door. And she walked over. Nobody was there. She patted his cheek. She said, John, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. He had a little prayer with her. She went back home and he tried to turn right around, go back into that storm. And he was an honest old preacher. He said he got mad. He said he got ill. Said all the way back, he told the Lord, I told you nobody would be there. Wasn't no use in it. I know we don't ever talk like that, but my papa did. Amen. Said he found himself off the coast of Greenland in World War II. He happened to be standing on the deck with his hand on the rail when the siren went off. And they said, I think it was the Germans, locked in on with a torpedo. The captain's voice declared the emergency. Said the torpedo's locked in and it's coming at us. They started jumping off the side of them thing and them rafts and all the men, a couple of thousand, trying to come up from underneath. Knew they'd never make it. But my papa told this story, and they told it at his funeral too. I heard him tell it one time. He said he's standing there when that siren went off in the captain's voice, and said before he could turn loose of the rail, and he was in one of the best spots to get on out in the water, he said the Holy Ghost stood up inside him, said, John. He said it was faster than time. Before he could release and go to run, John, he said there's such peace come over him. He just stood there and held that rail. He said the Lord told him, John, do you remember that night? You went out in the water for me? Tonight, I'm going to go out in the water for you. Said he never turned loose of the rail. Amen. Said half the ship was over there floating or swimming. Amen. And the torpedo didn't come. Amen. And a minute later it didn't come. And 5 minutes later, they still jumping overboard and coming up. Said he never left the rail. It never did come. Amen. Torpedo never did. Amen. Later on that day, the captain tried to explain to everybody that they couldn't understand it because the radar was working. It was locked on. It was a definite. It was already released. There was no malfunction. They said, all we can tell you is about the time I made the announcement, the whole screen went blank. Amen. Amen. And when it came back on, there was not a submarine or a torpedo.
Amen. Amen.
But you reckon 2,000 men, half of them got their life saved that night. And they don't even know why. Because one servant had a history with God. And way back yonder, somewhere, he was sacrificial instead of selfish. Maybe why I get to stand here tonight. I had several folks in my heritage like that. My. Number three. Don't be guilty of not asking. Don't be guilty of selfish living. Number three. Don't be guilty of underestimating potential. Come down to verse 2. He said, what you got in the house? She said, I don't have anything in the house. Didn't she say that first? Help me now. Underline it. I ain't got anything. She said, save. Well, we do have one thing. And she didn't think much of it because she said, we don't have anything.
That's right.
Said, unless you want to count that pot of oil. We'll say three quick things to your heart. Don't underestimate the potential of what is little.
Amen.
Don't underestimate the potential of what is left over. Y'all ain't helping me.
Amen.
And don't underestimate the potential of what is loaded. Amen. You think I can preach them three things in 30 seconds?
Amen.
Let's give it a shot. Them three things in 30 seconds. Don't underestimate the potential of what is little. He took a little sling, killed a big giant. He took a little sack lunch and fed 5,000 men beside the women and children, which means men ought to eat first. I think that's what it means in the Bible. Mallory, I'm getting a tattoo. You better say amen. the little things. Don't underestimate the potential of what is left over. She done got rid of everything else, pawned it, sold it, used it. She had a little pot of oil, and that's all she had left over. I'm about to run. What I'm about to do is run. Because God, He can just pick up the broken pieces. She said, Lord, this is all we got left. This one little old thing, and I don't even know what it's good for. He said, come here. Let's use the leftovers. When I was a boy in the 70s, they used to sing that young lady that's been in the service with her husband. She's got a real story. I guess Brendan's not here tonight. She was adopted. And then her story goes on and on. You might hear it sometime. There's a reason she's crying over here the other night. That story's so bad I can't even tell it, see? Amen. What about never knowing either of your parents? And then it gets worse. But God,
amen,
can He can take leftovers.
Thank God. Amen.
He can take leftovers.
Hallelujah.
They used to sing, what I mean, her adopted mother. They were sat there last night and sat over there the other night. Her adopted mother, one of the most precious Christian women you ever seen in your life. She was a big woman, great big woman. She was a great old big woman. And she's so full of love. She loved everybody, and everybody in the world loved her. And her mama and my mama and another woman would sing, a trio, pick up the broken pieces. Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces, trust fully in His word. He can, I didn't know I knew this, so I ain't heard it since the 70s. He can put them back together and start your life again. Just pick up the broken pieces. Pick up. Have you ever sung that one since? You need to learn that one. Me and Tim will sing with you. We promise we will. Pick up the broken pieces and lay them at His feet. Pick up the broken pieces. Y'all ought to Google that tonight. You know you can find songs these days. You used to never come. Pick up the broken pieces. It was an older song in the 70s. And ain't you glad that God... Don't you underestimate the potential of what's little and what's left over and then what's loaded. You know what oil represents in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. And the pot, there was a vessel. Y'all ain't helping me. It's kind of like saying, she said, we don't have anything in the house here except God. All right, see if this sounds depressing to you, Brother Eddie. We got nothing here but God. try to get discouraged with that. What do you got left? What are y'all going to do? God's in the house. Amen. So that's all we got. I guess that's all we need.
Amen.
Here's the last one. Abroad, is that what I said? Go borrow the vessels. Abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not, how many? A few. Number four, don't be guilty of limiting God.
Amen.
If He say abroad, I'd say you go as far and as wide as you want to and come back. If he said, borrow not a few, I need some help right here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, you can't ask too much of our God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We might need to hear that here in a minute, sis.
Amen.
I preached this one night in a great pasture down in Georgia on the South Carolina. Great pasture. Built a great old big church. Great big church. He heard me preach that one night at his place, actually. And afterwards, he just kept scratching his chin for 30 minutes. And he kept saying one thing. She'd still be pouring oil tonight.
Yes.
If she'd,
Amen.
If she'd got enough emptiness.
Amen.
He just kept saying, he said, she'd still be alive.
Amen.
She'd still
Amen.
Be pouring oil tonight. Because God, you can't ask too much of our God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Amen.
He said, go abroad.
Amen.
So that opens her wide open. I think one of the first mentions of the word abroad is in Genesis 15. You can check and see. It may be the first mention. The law first mention. Is when Abraham said, how can I know of a surety you're going to bring me this promised seed? He said, well, let's go abroad. That's what the Lord said. Let's go abroad and count the stars in the sky. And then we're going to count the sand on the sea. You think he don't think big?
Yep. Amen.
He goes, come here, boy. Here's what I'm thinking. I wonder if that night stretched out. They counted them. God stopped the sun in Joshua. Which might tell me
Amen.
That the sun's the one moving.
The
sun stands still.
Yep.
And it did.
Amen.
In Isaiah, the sun went backwards. Hello.
Yes.
Just a thought. Leave me alone. You got to take me to Waffle House and buy me a cup of chili before I tell you all about that. And that cup is just the appetizer for the bowl. Count the stars. And he said, we're going to count the sand on the seashore. That's your spiritual kingdom, the church. That's your physical kingdom, the Jews. What did he say? Empty vessels? These two women in this chapter provided empty space for God. One had an empty womb. Wasn't her choice. It's God's. She had an empty womb. And because she had an empty womb, she never had any children, she built a chamber.
Amen.
And Elisha had a chamber. If she'd had children, he'd have never had a chamber.
Right.
Anytime God withholds something natural from you, it's because he has something eternal to fill in its place.
Amen.
Anytime God takes something natural and earthly and something everybody else gets to have and he don't let you have it, he's leaving an empty space for himself. He wants to do something eternal or place something eternal or have something eternal in there. Hallelujah. You know what's interesting? Is that the three matriarchs of the faith were all barren women. You got your three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the only reason God picked them out, they needed them to have a seed to start the lineage to bring Jesus in the world. And every one of them was married to a woman that couldn't have children. What about God said, I need a man and his wife to have babies. Let's get people that can't. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
God loves to find people who can't.
Amen.
And then, and he left them with an empty space because he had something eternal he wanted to put in there. My, my, my. She had an empty place in her bed there next to her husband. And she's fixing to have a really empty. Them boys are going to be gone. Both these women experienced the great sorrow and heartache of emptiness. But they also, God was preparing something eternal. I need a little help right there. Oh, my. Empty vessels. He can't fill full vessels. Northside Baptist Church. Some of y'all are like, people around here are getting full of God. Why ain't I getting full of God? You might already be full. Might already be full of something. Y'all behave. Be full of self. Full of this world. I had a pastor talking to me in Alabama the other day. He said, and he's been there several years. Solid man. Been there 15 years. Most people would say he had a great ministry. He said, my people are so worldly this summer. He said, they're flat out making love to the world. They can't get enough of it. They're making love to the world is what he said. They're in love with the world. He said, it's so pitiful. He said, I've been considering resigning just because they're making me sick. This is a man who loves his people. But he said, the Lord sent a little family over here. It's a pastor and his wife, 50 years of age. Been on the mission field. And they come in there and landed right there and said, preacher, we need a place. Could you help us? He said, them empty vessels showed up and God just started pouring out of me. He said, everybody else in there is full of the world. He said, but God been giving me people that are empty so I could be full and it'd pour out into them. Amen. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. They come upon the old boy is fishing. He said, well, you got a lot of little fish here. You ain't catching no big fish today? He said, oh, yeah, I'm catching a lot of big fish, but I have to throw them back. He said, how come? He said, because my frying pan's only that big. How many folks, the Lord come by and he's got something real big for you. And you say, now, Lord, we've only got that. That woman has still been pouring oil tonight. If she'd have borrowed enough vessels. Y'all hear me? If she'd have went on a 20-year expedition to borrow all the vessels she could find in this world, God would have waited on her. And when she came back, filled up her house, may have had to fill up the whole block. I bet God would have let. I bet he said, okay. I said not a few. You're getting carried away, but you didn't get past my boundaries. He'd still be pouring out tonight.
Amen.
Psalm 78, don't turn there, but you can study it when you go home. Limiting God. Makes me nervous even to say that. As if somehow we have the power to limit God. And Brother Tim, I wouldn't mention it except the scriptures did. Psalm 78, in the middle of that psalm. Yay, the backslid children of Israel. They turned back and tempted the Holy One of Israel and they limited.
Yes.
They limited God. I heard old Dr. Saville again. I heard him preach this passage 20 years ago. He said this, you cannot technically limit God in what he can do, but you can personally limit God in what he will do. You ain't going to stop God. If God wants to do something, you ain't going to stop him.
Amen.
But he won't do it for you. And he won't do it with you. He'll do it somewhere else with somebody else.
Amen.
You cannot technically limit God in what he can do. Because God can do anything.
Amen.
With nobody's permission. But you can personally limit God on what he will do for you.
Amen.
So let's don't limit God. Your pastor said, all right, Lord. Yeah, we'll just pray a second week and then we'll go a third week.
Yes. Amen.
And last night he said, and whatever God does, it's just whatever God does.
Amen.
Friday night's only the end if God says it's the end.
Amen.
Not a few. Amen. Bar not a few. I'm glad the Lord just let it be the church family tonight because He wanted this message in this body. It's for y'all. It ain't for nobody else. He wanted this message in this body. You come on and sing it, sister. You can't ask too much of our God. Let's all stand, bow our heads, come around these altars. Why don't we come around and pray? Let's come around and process this message and pray it, pray about it, pray over it, pray because of it. Let's come around here and pray. She's going to sing. You can't ask too much of our God. Bless His name.
When David gathered a handful of stones, and where the soldiers had fallen, he waited alone. With a prayer and a little rock, the giant fell right on the spot. Well, that's what David prayed for, and that's what David got. Though he can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. There was a woman drawing water from a well. She had so many regrets, so often she failed. But Jesus knew where she had been. Still He forgave her of her sins. And in her life began to flow living water for the soul. No, you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. 'Cause when you're broken and you cannot find the peace of mind that seems to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham, the great I am? He's greater than any problem you've got. And you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. Upon the three Hebrew children, God smiled. And when Sarah was 90, God gave her a child. Well, I believe that just as then, He's here to move that way again. He's got a miracle to do. He only needs to hear from you. No, you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. 'Cause when you're broken and you cannot find the peace of mind that seems to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham, the great I am? He's greater than any problem you've got. And you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. You just can't ask too much of my God. 'Cause when you're broken and you cannot find the peace of mind that seems to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham, the great I am? He's greater than every problem you've got, and you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. Well, you can't ask too much of my God. You just can't ask too much of my God.
Sister Megan, stay right there for a minute if you don't mind. Maybe you can sing one more verse of that. A couple things tonight. The man of God said not to doubt the things that are little, not to doubt the things that are left over. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't help think about what God's done around here lately and think about where this church has been, where God has brought us to.
Amen.
Fellas, would you agree with me that a year and a half ago we were little and there was just a few left over? Would you agree with that?
Amen.
But look what God's done for 3 weeks.
Amen.
And I can't help but thank God for, he takes little leftovers and does great big things with them. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I thought about this too. He talked about them broken pieces and how God can take those broken pieces and God can still do something with that.
Yes. Amen.
And I couldn't help but wonder if there wasn't somebody here tonight and life has left you broken, and all you've got is just a few pieces left over, and it seems like your world's been destroyed, and you wonder if you'll ever feel God again, and if God could ever do anything in your life again. But I want you to know tonight that God can still pick up those leftover pieces.
Amen.
God can pick up the leftovers. God can do more with the leftovers, give you more in the end than you had to begin with. I believe that. And I wonder, I want her to sing one more verse. We've asked God for some big, I hope you asked God for some big stuff tonight, because I did.
Yeah.
Some stuff I've been afraid to, just been afraid to breathe, but I just went ahead and asked him for them tonight. But I wonder if you're here tonight, I believe there's somebody here and maybe you're broken. And you don't know if God could ever touch your life again. I wonder if tonight's the night that you bring him your broken pieces and let him put your life back together again. How about this? How about just everybody bow your head and close your eyes?